is too tall for me, but just right for her. So that's how we work out. So this was, is always great to be in Syracuse at your church. I remember the first time I walked in this building and was in awe of the beauty of it. And it's just been reflected in all of the years that we have come to know this congregation that we would be always be in awe of how beautiful the building it is, which is just reflective of all of the beauty that comes through you guys as well. Well, we met, I think, we met Steve and Penny and Roland back in way long years ago when their church was deciding to become Reconciling, and we had heard of the Reconciling movement through St. Paul's. When we came to St. Paul's, we had moved from Colorado in 1999. Dinah helps with the years and the dates. And we had come from the same denomination. Talk about what that is.
Assembly of God.
We were from the Assembly of God denomination. I was raised and born into the Assembly of God denomination in Texas. And Diana was born into the Assembly of God denomination in Groton, New York. After we met and decided that we would come back east together because Diana had family here and we needed a new place to call home, we brought our daughters who were then, how old were they? Five and 12. And then so we came here. I, of course, began to look for a church home. Diana, on the other hand,
didn't want to.
So we had, they asked, Alicia had and Jeannie had talked to us about saying to you, what would be good for your church to do different, or how do we grow into the future? How does our church grow into the future and that sort of thing? So Grace, I guess the best example of it is that you think that you're just like going to find the perfect home for you and you try and find where you are, but you know you're searching and you can't find what you're looking for. You know you need something different, but then someday you happen to stumble up on it. So we weren't looking for a gay-friendly church. We were just living our lives. We were attending a small church near us where we could walk from our home to church. They were open to all people, but we didn't talk about what that openness meant. And the music was horrible. And there was a very small church. There wasn't really a youth group for our children. And we knew we knew something different, but you know how when it's next door, it's so convenient. Sometimes you stay in places where you just shouldn't be. And so one night, our oldest daughter was in a community chorus in Ithaca, and I was with her down there, and Diana was at home with our youngest daughter. And then I was perusing. They wouldn't let us in because they were practicing, and they wouldn't let us in the auditorium yet. And so I was perusing I like to read all kinds of stuff. I'm the type of person, when I go to the museum, I look at every single written thing there. And Diana and our children are like through the first five rooms and come back, and I'm not out of the first one yet. And they're ready to go, and I'm still getting started. Well, I was looking for brochures, through the brochures, and I found the two St. Paul's Reconciling Ministries and the Basics, the two there. And quickly, I was on the phone. And what happened after that?
Jamie called saying, I think they like us here. I think we can come here.
And I was in tears waiting in the foyer there. Because when I was 5 years old, I went to an altar at an Assembly of God church. And I knelt and I cried. And I sang the song, Come Into My Heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. And from that very day, in Vacation Bible School in a little town called Waxahachie, Texas, where I was born, I gave my heart to Jesus, and he never stopped making me his own. My feeling and hopes for being in relationship with Christ never went away. And it didn't stop when I discovered that I was gay. It didn't stop through relationships that were broken, hearts that were broken. It didn't stop when churches asked me not to be part of their congregation because I was gay. And when I found St. Paul's that said all people were welcome, then my heart came alive again. And then when we are blessed to work in Tompkins County, where we have work. We're both social workers, basically, but we're accepted in our work, where they have local law C that protects us just as we are. But the only place that we really couldn't be ourselves was in a place of worship. So we had to check our sexuality. We felt like we had to check our sexuality at the door. And when we found St. Paul's, then we came in relationship with people there. When we met Steve and Penny and Roland and the different people, and then we met Jeannie and we met Ted, and the work began through relationships. Now, we didn't start out wanting to do anything at the upper conference level. If we had known about the United Methodist Church and their stance on the way that they feel about gay people being in full inclusion, we probably wouldn't have been a part. But what we found was family first. And that's what you guys have always done. You have a brochure that talks about how inclusive you are. That's awesome. We went to our first convocation, and happened to be in Denver, Colorado. And we found out there was more than a stripe on your sign. There was more than a flag that flies high. And we came back, and our church at that time had been probably, probably close to 10 years reconciling. And we did not have an active working reconciling group. Once a year, we would put together a little group to do some work, but we didn't have an ongoing working group because we're very fully immersed in our congregation. And we probably have close to 30 people, if all of us are there at once, that are gay and have families there. They're not interested in working for the greater cause, social justice. They want to be loved and know Jesus and build their families and welcome in that place. And that's awesome. So we began to do a work, and we bought T-shirts. We did a bumper sticker. We made sure that our brochures were up to date. Because it's been so long ago, they forgot to add the T. They didn't know to do that. We went back and added the T. Since then, in the last couple of years, they have added marriage equality to their church statement. So what they have said is, we will not be inclusive at all in any way so that people can be all inclusive. Your church has always been so gorgeous. Our church was in terrible need of being painted. We had built brand new bathrooms, but we still had a peeling sanctuary. I said, I don't care about sitting on a beautiful throne. I want to come into the throne of God and it be a gorgeous place to have a gorgeous conversation. Finally, we were able to put together funds to paint our sanctuary. And at that time, our pastor said, we can't include all people in this beautiful sanctuary unless we bring in marriage as well. Relationships are the things that matter. How are you going to, just by hanging a flag out front, it's not going to make the difference. People are going to see that flag. You have a great university. We have two great universities, but we're not doing the work we should be doing. At the same time, we have to figure out how to build relationships. Often people say, why do we need to be reconciling? Why do we need a big gay Sunday once a year? These are things we hear at our congregation as well after almost 20 years. And Diana really speaks to that great. Her passion has grown. She's very introverted overall, if you can't tell. There are two places that she really comes alive. And if you're willing, I'd like you to speak about that. First place, and she's more introverted today because she spent the last 3 days being extroverted on demand at annual conference. Those couple of places I would like for her to just talk about for a second, if you would, if you're willing.
So when people ask, why do we need to have...
The microphone, they can't hear you.
What was the question?
Why do we need to be reconciling?
So people say, why do we have to have a reconciling Sunday every year, and why do we need to have a statement to the community? And I come back with, if I don't know that your church is a safe place for my family and for me, I will not come into your church and worship, because I don't need any more discrimination. I just look for a safe place where I can be who I am and who God created me to be. When we went to St. Paul's, that was the first time that I ever held my partner's hand in a church. And people don't realize what it's like. Just imagine not being able to be who you are and feeling unsafe and not welcomed. So hanging a rainbow flag is awesome. That tells people that they can come in here and be who God created them to be and be safe.
And if you're looking for the purpose of being on the reconciling as a reconciling church, is because if you go to a different town, a lot of times people travel a long way and come to our church, and we'll say, how did you find them? And then you find them by how do we find them?
I forgot to mention that you can go on Reconciling Ministry Network website, and you can look up where you can find reconciling congregations and communities and worship in, I think, every state in the United States. Some are few and far between, but there is a safe place somewhere in other states where you can find a reconciling congregation to worship at on a Sunday morning if you're traveling.
So look for places to build relationships. Look for places for people to be born anew in your congregation. Look for places where people can bring their friends and not be ashamed. One of the things I remember that Penny talked about when we first met her is she had a hairdresser she would go to her hairdresser, and then she was talking about them wanting to become reconciling. And this person said to them, what in the world, why in the world would you have ever gone there to start with if they weren't welcoming to people like me? So, you know, this is the point of, you don't know where you're going to find people that need a wonderful place to come to God. It's not about coming to God if you're gay or if you're straight. It's about coming to God, period. It's about finding relationship to Jesus Christ that lasts for an eternity. And that eternity can begin right here in your congregation. Every year when we go get ready for annual conference, we're hurriedly trying to make enough stoles to be represented. We're trying to round up all the stuff clean out all the stuff that we meant to do starting the week after annual conference. But we say, I don't know. I just don't know if I can continue this fight another year. I just don't know if I can do it another time. Just standing there trying to represent hope is really hard. That new birth is going to come, really? Can we say that? We've been to 2 general conferences, and our hopes have been deflated each time. But the fact is that we get there, and then what happens? We meet with people who are just like us. We meet people who their children have, in the past year, have come out to them. We meet people in the last year that their children have have come to Bendham and said, I'm transgender and I need a place to go and know that I'll be accepted. We need parents that are hurting. We meet people that are full of love for each other. And we find even people who disagree from us are still part of our family. So this is the network that we would bring to you the Sunday after annual conference. We need to continue to build the hope by continuing to build family. Thank you for your time, friends.